The Navy's made an important step in advancing its aerial strike and surveillance technology. It's found a way to blend unmanned and manned jets on the same aircraft carrier. Using the USS Theodore Roosevelt off the Virginia coast, the Navy successfully completed a test. A self-guided plane took off, landed, and then maneuvered out of the way for a manned jet to land. Rear Admiral Matt Winter is the Program Executive Officer for Unmanned Aviation and the Strike Weapons at the Navy Air Systems Command. He explains why the test runs are so important to the Navy.
Our Chief of Naval Operations and Secretary of the Navy are committed and directing all of us to focus on and pursue unmanned capabilities, and not just the warfighting capabilities, but the technologies that enable those warfighting capabilities, not only in aviation, but in surface and subsurface. And really, as we do that, things emerge that allow us to see where it fits with our manned and unmanned current capabilities. Because, you know, the Navy's forward deployed. We're on ships where it matters, when it matters. And ensuring that we can be there at the call of either the president or the local combatant commander for immediate reaction and engagement is key. And unmanned capabilities provide a warfighting persistence and an ability to provide what we call situational awareness to those commanders at sea at a very affordable and enduring timeline. And so with that underpinning, we've been challenged in the aviation domain to put together a logical integration and blending of manned and unmanned to continue to pursue that persistent situational awareness and engagement where it matters, when it matters. The naval aviation strategy really blends manned and unmanned in three different domains. One we call broad area maritime. So we've got lots of ocean. 80% of the globe is covered with water. And so our forward deployed forces need that situational awareness to understand who's out there. Are they friendly? Are they foe? And be able to track that information and provide it to our warfighter commanders. So we have, for example, just fielded the P-8 manned maritime surveillance aircraft, and we are just going into production and about to field MQ-4C Triton unmanned maritime surveillance aircraft. Those combined together will provide a blended manned and unmanned warfighting persistent situational awareness capability. Similarly, on our smaller ships, such as the littoral combat ship, we are fielding the Fire Scout. That's our MQ-8 unmanned air system Fire Scout with the manned H-60 Seahawk helicopter. That aviation package will go on board our littoral combat ships and operate forward deployed, providing situational awareness and execution in what we call surface warfare and mine countermeasure capabilities.
So the carrier field or domain, that's where some of the biggest challenges are yet ahead then.
Exactly. But and so what we've done is we've learned in the technologies for an unmanned system with Triton, with Fire Scout, and now the logical progression is into a very demanding environment of the carrier, and that's where the X-47B and the focus and objective of the X-47B demonstration is quite simply to demonstrate the feasibility of operating an unmanned aircraft in the harsh carrier environment. If you think about the pitching deck of an aircraft carrier in 6 degrees of freedom, in the electromagnetic domain of the radars and activities that are going on board the carrier, in the salt and corrosive and environmental dynamic changes that carrier operates in, being able to reliably and effectively operate an unmanned vehicle was something that we weren't sure we could do.
And so what happened at the Roosevelt testing that happened just a few days ago?
Right. So at that time, we were able to leverage off the previous year's demonstration where we actually did catapults and traps, arrested landings, to then bring together this time, just this year, or this month, and I was out there. I was on the flight deck, and I saw history made where we not only were able to catapult, launch, fly X-47 around the aircraft carrier and land it on that aircraft carrier in a demanding wind conditions and pitch and roll conditions. But we did it in harmony with our F-18 manned fighters. And so what we actually demonstrated was the ability to do the close quarter launch and recovery measured in seconds. We launch and recover aircraft every 90 seconds. That's a minute and a half. And to be able to demonstrate our ability to take that unmanned vehicle, trap it, get it out of the wires, retract our hook, fold its wings with the 20 to 30 knots of wind coming down the deck, and taxi it out of the landing area within 90 seconds so that that manned F-18 that's coming right in behind it can trap as well, which we did, and we demonstrated that, Tom. That was a phenomenal technological and operational success that had never been done before.
And just tell us briefly about the X-47B. Is that something that someone is operating with a joystick that you hear about, a pilot that's remote, or does it fly itself according to a pre-programmed pattern?
That's a very good question, Tom. So the X-47B is an unmanned air system. There's three segments to that system. The visible segment is the air vehicle that everybody sees. But you also have to have what we call a digitized launch and recovery environment. That's our aircraft carrier. In that, we have controls and communication devices, hardware and software, in different parts of the aircraft carrier where our controllers, our air vehicle controllers, actually reside. That's the launch and recovery segment. And then the third segment is the invisible but very important communication segment made up of the receivers and transmitters and the actual network and algorithm software that the controllers use to communicate to the air vehicle, and the air vehicle communicates back to the air controller. So with those three segments, our philosophy in the United States Navy is to operate our unmanned systems. We do the same thing with our Triton Fire Scouts as we do with our X-47. We call it man on the loop. So we have autonomous algorithms, and we tell the X-47 to taxi. We tell the X-47 to launch. And then the X-47 senses its environment. It senses the health and status of all the systems in the air vehicle itself, engine, hydraulics, the airflow, and then it autonomously executes the task. Similarly, once we get airborne, we tell it where it needs to fly in the what we call the racetrack pattern, and it flies. So our air vehicle operator does not have a joystick, does not have a throttle, does not have rudder pedals. He truly has a mouse and a keyboard.
It sounds like a pretty smart plane.
Absolutely.
We're speaking with Rear Admiral Matt Winter. He's Program Executive Officer for the Navy Department's Unmanned Aviation and Strike Weapons Program. Now, you're learning a lot through all of these tests, of unmanned systems, especially as they merge with piloted systems. And on the civilian side of the government, the FAA is trying to figure out how to do this to integrate drones, as they call them, in with civil aviation. What are any of the Navy learnings translatable to the civilian side of this equation?
Tom, the short answer to that is yes. When we operate those unmanned systems, be them for domestic use missions or for military missions, again, you have the air vehicle, a control system, and then a launch and recovery platform, be it a runway for the for civilian applications or not. We, the Department of Navy, have been hand-in-hand with the Department of Defense in providing our lessons learned to the Federal Administration, Aviation Administration, so that they can benefit from not just the technologies, but more importantly, the what we call the concept of operations, how you operate unmanned systems safely. And quite honestly, from an FAA focus, their challenge is how do you bring in unmanned systems into what we call the national airspace and be able to operate hand-in-hand and together with commercial and general aviation without causing undue safety concerns. The Department of the Navy and military predominantly fly our unmanned systems in what we call restricted airspace. So we don't have to worry about what we call non-participating aircraft, civilian aircraft. We are operating off of aircraft carriers at sea. We're operating at ranges here at the Naval Air Station Patuxent River and so forth. So we've provided the FAA our thoughts, our technical lessons learned, and our conceptual operations lessons learned for their use as they see fit.
And as you conducted these exercises on the Roosevelt, what did the F-18 pilots say about it?
So one of the cultural shifts, Tom, that about 3 or 4 years ago, our naval aviators looked at unmanned aviation as a threat to job security. What they've seen now, and they understand now, is that unmanned aviation is a complementary capability with manned aviation and will be for many, many decades to come. As you saw, our P-8 Triton, Fire Scout H-60, and now X-47 with our F-18s into the carrier, our naval aviation officer corps and maintenance troops are embracing unmanned aviation as that complementary capability. Specifically, out on the USS Theodore Roosevelt, our officer in charge and our lead test pilot, Lieutenant Commander Brian Hall, was ecstatic, and those are his words, ecstatic about the historical demonstration of, and he was the pilot that trapped right behind the X-47, and he was able to fly in the carrier pattern just like he was flying any other deployment pattern, and was able to do that seamlessly with X-47B landing before him.